All right. Okay. What's up, everyone? Once again, it's LJ Talks Facts. Right, once again, I'm going to spit some more facts right here. So hope you guys enjoyed my episode. Just recently, I did a few minutes ago, my NHL Round 2 predictions. NHL Stanley Cup Playoffs Round 2 predictions. And now this is my 2022 NBA or NBA 2022 third round prediction. So second round did end yesterday. I was actually right with 3 out of the 4 predictions I made. I picked Miami over Philly in 6. That was correct. I picked Golden State over Memphis in 6. That was correct. I picked Boston over Milwaukee in 7. That was correct. And I picked Phoenix over Dallas in 7. I was incorrect. And I did say in the round 2 predictions of the NBA right here, I did say I was tempted to pick Dallas. And I really should have stuck with my gut on that one. Because Dallas, man, they completely embarrassed Phoenix in Game 6 and Game 7. Especially last night. That was just bad. That was bad. So, you know, since we're talking about Dallas, let's talk about Dallas and Golden State right here. So, the Dallas Mavericks versus the Golden State Warriors here in the third round. So, here we go. So, Game 1 will be on Wednesday. Game 1 will be on Wednesday between the Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to both series, right? I'm looking forward to the Mavericks and Warriors. I'm looking forward to the Mavericks and the Warriors. I'm looking forward to the Celtics and the Heat. Both series are going to be really good. Both series are going to be really good. You know, I'm looking forward to both conference final series, right? I really am. I seriously am. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be seriously fun. So with the Mavericks right here, they beat the Utah Jazz in the first round. And now they beat the Phoenix Suns in the second round. So you beat the best team in the NBA in the second round. Because the Phoenix Suns were the best team this year. They had the best record in the NBA, and the Dallas Mavericks said, "Oh, we don't give a shit. We're going to beat these fucking guys." That's exactly what they did. You know, they went down 2-0. They wound up tying it back home in Dallas. Then Phoenix won Game 5. And then Dallas blew them out in Game 6. I'm like, alright, it's going back to Game 7. Anything can happen in a Game 7. And when I checked the score, because I went on Twitter and I saw somebody say, "Oh, so the Suns suck now." I'm like, "What?" And I checked the score. I was like, "Oh my God." It was 57-27 going into the half. I'm like, "No way. No way." I think Booker had 0 points going into the second half. I think he was shooting 0-for-10. I think CP3 only had like 1 point. Like, oh my God. The Phoenix Suns are absolute frauds. They really are. They are absolute frauds. You know, I mean, and granted, you know, the Pelicans gave the Suns a run for their money. You know, because I knew the Pelicans were going to be pretty relentless. And we all knew Dallas was going to push this to Game 7. We all knew that was going to happen. Fucking Luka, man. Luka had a really good Game 7 last. I think he had like 20-plus points going to the half. Like, he was going off. I think he finished with 35 points. He was going off. And this kid, Jalen Brunson, he's going to get paid big in the offseason. Dinwiddie had a really good Game 7 last night. This Mavericks team, they're something special. They've come a long way right here, getting to the conference finals. Yeah, you know, after getting beat by the Clippers in back-to-back first rounds the last 2 years, they've come a long way. They've absolutely come a long way right here. You know, Doncic has really turned into that superstar player these last couple years. He's been something. He's going to win an MVP someday. He definitely will. Because this kid is talented. This kid's been playing in championships game. He's been playing in championship games since he was 16 years old. So this kid knows. He knows how to step it up in big games. And he absolutely did last night. But man, I really wanted to pick Dallas. I really wanted to pick them. I thought, we're going to get Phoenix Golden State. Nope.
And oh my god, everybody's talking about trading CP3. I'm like, the Phoenix Suns really wouldn't be where they're at without CP3, honestly. If we're going to be completely honest. Because he really is a good veteran player. We know that for a fact. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best point guard. He's one of the best point guards to ever live. I wouldn't say he's the best, but he's one of the best. He turned around OKC when he got traded there. He made him a playoff team. They almost beat the Rockets in the bubble. Only lost in 7. That's pretty impressive. You know, putting him on Phoenix right here, and you could say he disappears in the playoffs. Yeah, he has his moments where he does disappear, especially last night and in Game 6. He does disappear in the playoffs a lot, CP3. He really does. But in the regular season, he's a hell of a ball player. He's a hell of a ball player in the regular season. He really is. Got to give him a lot of credit on that one. Got to give him a lot of credit there. He does bring leadership to the table. It's just a shame he might go down as one of the best players to ever live to never win a ring. He's getting older. We don't know how much longer he has left in the NBA right here. It's a real shame. It actually is. It actually is a shame. I know I was saying fuck CP3. I was actually saying fuck CP3 to my friend James last night. But thinking about it, you know, it is a shame. Because he doesn't have a ring. It is a shame. It really, really is a shame. Because I do feel bad for him. I actually do. I seriously do. But I really thought we were going to get Phoenix-Golden State. I think everybody predicted that. Phoenix-Golden State's going to be the Western Conference Finals matchup. And I was looking forward to it. I'm like, oh, that's going to be entertaining. That's going to be fun. But nope. Nope. Not this time. Not this time right here. We're getting Dallas and Golden State. Now, speaking of Golden State, you know, they beat Denver in the first round. And now they just beat the Memphis Grizzlies in 6. I mean, I'll give the Grizzlies some credit. You know, even without John Moran, he talks too much. For a guy that hasn't won anything in this league so far, he's a hell of a ball player. But the Grizzlies, they do better when he's not on the court, which is actually, that's kind of scary. They have a much better record. They have actually a really good record when he's not on the court. That shows something. That shows how deep that team is. But he talks too much on Twitter. Talks way too much. He needs to be humbled a little bit in the NBA. He just talks way too much. It'd be the players that don't even win. Even when Patrick Beverley talks. This guy hasn't won anything. I mean, I'll give Beverley a lot of credit. I'll give him a lot of credit because he really is a good lockdown defender. So you get him on a championship-level team, and if he wins a ring. Oh, God, if he wins a ring before CP3, then what the fuck? That's just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, what's going on here? But I swear, when players that don't even have rings, when they start talking, it's like, you haven't won anything. You haven't even won an MVP. Why are you talking? I know John Morant won the Rookie of the Year. The guy is a hell of a ball player. I'm not taking that away from him, but the dude talks too much on social media. What he really should do in the summer is put the phone down, train his ass off right here, and be ready to bounce back harder next season. Because the Grizzlies are still a top team going into the next season. They absolutely are. They absolutely are still a top team going into the season. They're contenders. They absolutely are contenders. But even like during the regular season, Moran should just put down the phone. Don't pay attention to people on Twitter because he was responding to people on Twitter, trolling him. See, don't do that. Don't even do that like with burner accounts. Just put the phone down and say, you know what? We got beat. We're going to bounce back even harder next season. Go up to the podium right there in the press conference. Even though Moran didn't play in the last few games of the series because he got hurt. Just say, you know what? I'm the leader of this team right here, and I'm saying we're going to bounce back next season. That's what a leader does. Say, you know what? We're going to bounce back even harder next season. You thought this year was good. Next year is going to even be better. That's how you get the people hyped up right there. I mean, of course, it's a hot take. It's an extremely hot take. But then you got to own up to it. That's all I'm trying to say. And again, I like Morant. I absolutely do. I love Morant. The guy's insane on the court. He's insane. But he does remind me a little bit of Derrick Rose. Not in a good way. Because Derrick Rose, he was playing the same way John Morant's playing right now. And look at the injuries Derrick Rose suffered. That's why Morant's got to, you know, change his game around a little bit. Don't just focus about, because he's a small guy. He is a point guard. He shouldn't be all that focused about, you know, going into the paint all the time. You know, in the offseason, work on your 3 points. He's not a good 3-point shooter. Work on the 3-point shooting. Become a really good 3-point shooter. He could, very much could do it. He's got the talent. He absolutely could. You know, and I don't want to, I know speaking as a fan right here, you know, if I did see him, I'd say, why are you paying attention to people on social media for? Like, why do you care? Like, I would actually tell him that. I would say, just put down the phone in the offseason. Or even after a bad loss, put down the phone, work even harder after that. Don't worry about what the fans have to say or the trolls have to say. Worry about, you know, positive stuff. Like, when you win a big game, yeah, I'll think, like, you know, that's the time to pay attention to the fans. And even though there's going to be trolls, well, don't pay attention to those people. Just don't. Why do you think, you know, why do you think LeBron never responds to Skip Bayless? He's never responded to him ever. Skip Bayless has been his biggest hater for his whole career. He's never responded to him. LeBron doesn't respond to those type of people on Twitter. He doesn't go out. He just lets his game handle it. You know, he lets his game speak for itself. That's what he does. So I will give him respect on that one. Even though I'm not a LeBron fan at all by any means. He goes out there and he plays his game. He doesn't let the people bother him. He doesn't say this and that. He doesn't go after, you know, the hosts on TV shows. He doesn't do that. He lets his game speak for itself. That's what he does. So I'll give him respect on that one. But back to the series here between Dallas and Golden State. I also have to give a lot of credit to Jason Kidd. Because Jason Kidd, when he coached for the Nets, he did pretty bad. Didn't really do good with Milwaukee. He's turned around his game as a head coach. He absolutely has. He's been great for the Mavericks this season. Like, I questioned him being the new head coach of the Mavericks. I didn't think he was going to get the Mavericks this far. But he's gotten them pretty far right here to the conference finals. It's a win already. They get to the finals, which they very much could. They very much could. But you look at Golden State, though. Golden State is so deep of a team. You have Curry play at a high level again. Klay Thompson still play at a high level. You still have Draymond, who's a beast down low. And he doesn't take shit from anybody. I'll give Draymond a lot of credit. That's a guy right there that doesn't give a shit about anything. He doesn't care what anybody has to say. He doesn't care. Is he a dirty ball player? Yeah, he is. But he doesn't care. He lets it speak for itself. He doesn't care. You know, you have this kid Jordan Poole. You have another kid Kuminga. You know, they don't have Gary Payton because he got hurt against Memphis. But it's still a very deep team right here. Still a very, very deep team. And Steve Kerr, everybody thought that he wasn't a good head coach. I think he's proven that he still is a good head coach. He absolutely is. He absolutely is a good head coach. But looking at this series right here, it's going to be something. Like I said, both series are going to be very, very fun. It's going to be a very, very fun both series right here. They absolutely are going to be extremely fun. I think Luka Doncic, he's going to have a really good conference finals, but he can't carry the load as much. You know, he's going to need Brunson to help him out. He's going to need Dinwiddie to help him out. Bertans with his three-pointers, going to need him to help out as well. It can't be just a Luka Doncic show. He's going to need some help. And he got some help against Phoenix. He absolutely got a lot of help against Phoenix. He's going to need that against Golden State. He's going to absolutely need that against Golden State. It can't just be Doncic, 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 Doncic. Can't be all about him. Other guys got to help him out. But this series, I think it's going to go to seven. I think we're going to see a seven-game series here between Golden State and Dallas. This is going to be Golden State's toughest series, honestly. I think it's going to be. And, man, I was so tempted to pick Dallas over Phoenix in the second round. Like, I was really tempted to do it, but I thought, Phoenix, they're going to get them in game seven. It was the other way around. I'm happy for Dallas. I'm absolutely happy for Dallas. Like, I really wanted to see Phoenix and Golden State. But hey, I'm happy for Dallas, though. I absolutely am. I'm happy for Doncic as well. But, man, this series, it actually is tough to predict. Because, I want to pick Dallas. And you can say, well, this time pick them. But it's just, it's Golden State here we're talking about. This is Golden State. I mean, we've seen really good teams been beaten by underdogs in the past. I mean, Dallas was the underdog against Phoenix, and look what happened. They beat them. Detroit beat the Lakers back in the finals in 2004. I mean, Detroit was on; they were underdogs in that going to that finals, and they beat them in 5. I mean, come on.
That was something.
But Golden State, man, they're too deep and they're too good. Dallas will be back, though. Dallas will be back. Like, I really want to see Luka and the Mavericks get to the finals. I really do. I really do. And I will say this, though. It will not be an upset if the Mavericks do beat Golden State. It won't be an upset. They very much could beat Golden State, but in all honesty, I got to go with the Golden State Warriors in 7 games. I was going to say 6, but I decided, I'll go with 7. Dallas will push a game 7 against Golden State, but this time, they're not going to blow out Golden State, just like they did the Phoenix in game 7. Game 7 will be very close, but I think Golden State will be able to handle the pressure later on in the game. That's just what I see. And I could be wrong. I would like to be wrong because I want Dallas to win. I actually want Dallas to win. But I gotta go with Golden State. Golden State's back right here, man. They're back. You know, I would like to eat my words and say that I'm wrong because I actually want to be wrong. I want Dallas to win. That's not me being biased. I just want to see Luka get to the finals. You know, because everybody expects Golden State to be there, but you want the unexpected in Dallas. And Dallas, they're a likable team. Luka's a likable player. He actually is at times, because Devin Booker was talking so much shit. And I actually like Devin Booker, but he was talking too much shit in that series. So Phoenix as a whole needed to be humble. That whole team needed to be humbled. Even LeBron said it back in, I don't know when it was, sometime early on in the season, like when campaign was talking shit, and LeBron said, you guys need to be humbled. Well, Dallas just did that. Phoenix thought they were too good. I mean, they were a really good team in the regular season. They absolutely were. They were a dangerous regular season team. And Monty Williams is a great head coach. But Dallas humbled them. They talked too much shit. Even Anthony Edwards on his Instagram story last night saying Phoenix talked way too much shit. He wound up deleting it, but he said they talked too much shit. They couldn't pack it up, Phoenix. I mean, you get your trash talkers in the league, but you got to be able to back it up. And Phoenix could not do that. So they have a lot to reflect on the offseason right here. And again, I would not trade CP3. I wouldn't do that. That'd be stupid and ridiculous. That would be overreacting. I would not do that. They would turn into such a different team. And not for the good, for the bad. They won't be the number one seed without him. Because he's huge in the regular season. It's just the playoffs, that's just who he is, CP3. That's just what happens. He has no clutch gene in the playoffs. He really just doesn't. I mean, they went to the finals last year, and they should have won. They were up 2-0, they should have won that series. It is what it is. CP3 disappears in those big games. I think he has like 4 straight Game 7 losses now. He falls apart in Game 7s. That's what happens. Nothing you could do, though. So I think Phoenix, if they do keep CP3, if they don't break up the team, they're going to be fine. They'll be back where they're at right now. They needed to be humbled right there. And so maybe next season, maybe they actually take that next step. Maybe they do go to the finals again. Maybe this time they win. They needed to be humbled. They probably thought their shit didn't stink. Well, it did. It did the last 2 games of this series against Dallas. So I do hope they do bounce back, though. I really hope they do, because Booker is a hell of a ball player too. But he was flopping around in this series against Dallas. He was playing like a bitch. Let's just be honest. But I hope they bounce back next season. I hope that they're humbled. I hope they don't go into the next season and talk more shit. You better be humbled now. Because if they play the same way, or if they act the same way going into next season, the same result will happen. They might get a first round win, but the second round, they're going to get humbled. They need to learn. That's just how I see it. But I have Golden State in 7. That's how I see it right there. But now we get to the next series right here in the conference finals. On the east side, we have the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Game one is tomorrow. So this feels like a classic one right here, Celtics and Heat. We've seen that over the years. Oh man, this is gonna be a fun series. This is another fun series right here. So I have Golden State in 7 over Dallas. Now we have Boston, Miami. Classic series. We've seen that over the years. Now we're seeing it again right here. I mean, to be honest, I'm actually not upset Boston beat Milwaukee. I mean, I know Boston completely shit on the Nets, on my Nets, you know. Still pissed about it. It is what it is. But I'm really not that mad they beat Milwaukee. I'm actually not. You know, I said Boston 7 and it happened. I mean, they destroyed Milwaukee in Game 7. They destroyed them. They absolutely destroyed them in Game 7. Milwaukee had no answer yesterday. They had none. Just like Phoenix. No answer. Nothing at all. So we are going to see new NBA we're going to see a new NBA champion this year. Which is great. It's great to see. I'm happy we're not going to get a rematch between Milwaukee and Phoenix. We don't want to start seeing rematches again. You want to see new faces. You want to see those new faces right there. I mean, two out of these four teams right here haven't been to the finals in a while, because we know Miami was there in 2020 and Golden State was there in 2019. Dallas hasn't been there since 2011. Boston hasn't been there since 2010. So, man, I really would love to see Dallas and Boston. That's actually something I want to see. That's actually something I really want to see. I'm not going to lie. You're like, you give me Doncic versus Tatum? Oh my God. That's money. That is money. Two future MVPs in this league? Just give me that right there. That's what I want to see. But with Boston and Miami right here, you know, Miami beat Philly in 6. I will be honest, though, when Philly tied up the series, I thought, all right, well, that was a really good game 4 out of Philly. Harden stepped it up, and Embiid, you know, he came back game 3. He played good in game 3 and game 4, mostly in game 4. But game 5 to game 6, oh my God. Miami destroyed them. Miami completely destroyed Philly. Game 5 even. Like, you have all the momentum in the world. You're able to tie up the series. Now you go back into Miami. You have to win that game. But who disappeared? James Harden disappeared. Joel Embiid disappeared in both Game 5 and Game 6. What did Harden have? 11 points in Game 6? Come on. In a do-or-die game right there to force a Game 7, this man only had 11 points. So both teams, between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets, both teams lost that trade. Nobody won it. You could say, well, the Nets, well, they didn't have Simmons play. Granted, Simmons will be back next season. Hopefully he does get on the court. I think he will, honestly. I know you could say, well, how do you know? I think he will, honestly. I think honestly they will, to be honest. I think honestly he will get back on the court. But we don't know if Harden's going to re-sign with Philly, because he didn't take that player option that opt-in right there. He didn't get it in time. So I think he is a free agent after the season. So, yikes. He is a free agent, Harden, after the season, so I don't know if he's going to re-sign with Philly. And then watch. If he signs with somebody else, when they go back to, like, whoever he signs with, let's just say he goes to... Fuck it. Let's say he goes to Miami in the offseason. Then when Miami plays Philly, in Philly, he's going to get fucking booed like crazy. And you can ask me, would I take Harden back? No. Even if he said, I'm fully committed, I'm going to work on my body and everything, I made a mistake, no. I would not re-sign him. I would not re-sign. I wouldn't even go by KD or Kyrie. I would say, no, you're not coming back. I don't care what KD and Kyrie say. We don't trust you. No. Not what you did right there. Not what you did to Houston. Because that was wrong. It absolutely was. You know, but Harden was on my team, so I had to root for him. When I got to root against him, he's on my team. I got to root for him. I don't have to like the guy. You got to root for him. I'm sure there's a lot of Net fans that don't like Kyrie right now for what happened during the regular season. But he's still on our team. You got to cheer for him. It happens. You got to cheer for the guy. There's some guys that aren't likable on your favorite teams. You gotta cheer for them. You gotta cheer for them. It's just, they're on your team.
There's nothing you can do about it. It doesn't change anything.
But yeah, nobody won that trade. Not yet, at least. You know, granted, the Nets still have Seth Curry on a contract for next season. Simmons for the next couple years. Drummond's a free agent. I've said it before, I would not bring him back. I would either get somebody else or let Claxton and Sharp compete for the center spot, you know, in preseason. That's just what I would do, honestly. You know, with Philly, Harden's a free agent. So it's not guaranteed he'll resign. Even if he does, it'd probably be for a year. Because you think he's going to get a max contract again? He doesn't deserve a max contract again. He doesn't. He absolutely doesn't. So, I mean, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with Harden going into the offseason. We don't know if he's going to resign with Philly. He might go somewhere else. It's going to be the same story. The guy's out of shape, too. He's not the same player he used to be. He's really not. He showed signs of life with the Nets this season early on. Like, he played at a high level at some points. But he was really inconsistent. He really was. I saw from the start how he was playing. He was playing very inconsistent. Not the same player he used to be in Houston. He used to be a dominant ball player. He's changed. He's completely changed. Last year with the Nets, he was actually playing really good. Despite getting injured at times, he was playing great. Especially that comeback against Phoenix last year. In the 2020-21 season. He played great in that game. That was a huge comeback win. Like, he put the team on his back and said, I got this. You know, gotta give him credit on that one. But now back to this series between the Celtics and the Heat. You know, I enjoyed seeing these two teams go at it. You know, back in the day when LeBron was on Miami and you had Pierce and Garnett and Ray Allen on the Celtics. Those were fun series to watch. Even though Miami, you know, won those series right there, I think things will change right here. Because you look at Boston, so deep of a team. And so is Miami, honestly. Miami is a deep team as well. You know, I did doubt Miami a little bit. I doubted them against Atlanta. I didn't doubt them against Philly. Didn't doubt him against Philly. But you look at Ime Udoka, the coach of the Boston Celtics, he's really turned around, beating KD and Giannis in a span of two rounds right there. That's impressive. Ime Udoka, he really... Man, this guy should have won Coach of the Year, honestly. It's a real shame we let him go. It really is. It really, really is. Seeing Ime Udoka and Jason Kidd in the conference finals... Could potentially be in the NBA Finals. You know, Jason Kidd wasn't a good head coach for the Nets. Only coached for one season. And he wasn't really that good for Milwaukee. But then when he went on the Lakers staff, yeah, he turned around. Look how he's doing now with Dallas. So things take time. So maybe that shows you maybe Steve Nash will actually be a good head coach someday. Maybe it's not with the Nets. Maybe it's going to be with somebody else. We don't know. We'll see what happens, though. We'll see what happens. I'm really, looking forward to both series, like I've said. But with the Celtics and the Heat, you know, with Tatum and with Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, I think it's going to be a lot for Miami to contain. I mean, I think Jimmy Butler, he's really stepped it up here in the playoffs. I'll give him his due. He's really stepped it up here in the playoffs. He absolutely has. He absolutely has stepped it up. Got to give him that credit. You know, is playoff Jimmy Butler a real thing? I think it might be. Because he didn't play too bad against Atlanta. He played really good against Philly. He really played good against them. And just fuck Philly, too. Everybody thought Philly was going to go all the way. Fuck them. I'm glad they got beat. Fuck out of here, man. But with Boston and Miami right here, I just think, you know, with Miami, I don't think it's going to be enough for them to beat Boston. I don't think they're deeper than Boston. They're a deep team, but they're not deeper than the Celtics. They're not deeper than the Celtics, honestly. They're just not. They are not deeper than the Celtics.
You know, and I think Odoku, I think right now he's a better head coach than Spoelstra, honestly. I mean, come on, you beat KD and then you beat Giannis back-to-back rounds right there? Come on. That's something. That really is something. You know, I think this series will go to 6 games, but I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics in 6 games over the Miami Heat. So I'm predicting the NBA Finals will be the Golden State Warriors versus the Boston Celtics, which it very much could have been back in 2018. It was almost that in 2018. Boston was 1 game away. Could you imagine 19-year-old Jason Tatum against that Golden State Warriors team? Against a completely healthy Golden State Warriors team of Curry, Klay, KD, and Draymond. Oh, my God. I don't know if Boston would have got swept, honestly. You could say, well, but Cleveland got swept. I think Boston would have won a game or two. They would have been very relentless. They were relentless that whole playoff, especially without – they didn't even have Kyrie and Hayward. They were both hurt. They didn't have those two guys. Could you imagine if they would have had Kyrie and Hayward? Things could have been a little bit different. Just imagine. Just imagine. You know, I think Boston's going to get over the hump right here. They're going to get over the conference finals. And they will – and this is a rematch, actually. This is a rematch from the – from the 2020 conference finals. And I believe Miami, I think, did they beat Boston in 6? I have to take a look right here, honestly, because I almost forgot. Because these two teams did meet. They did meet in the conference finals in 2020 in the bubble. They did meet in the bubble. So let me see right here. I'm going to go back to the 2019-2020 season. See, go to game log. Gotta go all the way down to the playoffs. Yeah, they beat him in 6. They beat him in 6. Yep. Yep, I remember that. Celtics gave him a nice fight, just not enough. I think this time it'll be the other way around. This isn't the bubble. This isn't the bubble at all. This is very, very different. Very, very different. So, again, I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics in 6. And on the other side, I got the Golden State Warriors in 7 over the Mavericks. And that's your NBA Finals right there. I'm predicting it'll be the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. We know the Warriors, last time they were there was 2019. The last time Boston was there was 2010. And both teams lost. And both teams lost. So, there you go right there. That's my NBA Finals predictions right there. That's my NBA Finals prediction, who's going to be there. I think it'll be Golden State and Boston. So again, Golden State in 7 over Dallas and Boston in 6 over Miami. And again, I'm not trying to take away anything Miami's done this year. Same thing with Dallas. I'm not trying to take away anything those two teams have done. They've come extremely far. I think Golden State, it comes down to them being deep as well. I think they're deeper than Dallas. And I think Boston's deeper than Miami. That's just how I see it. Again, Miami and Dallas didn't get here by accident. They weren't flukes. There weren't flukes at all with Miami or with Dallas getting here. Same thing with Golden State and Boston. There weren't any flukes. No flukes at all. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. But again, Golden State in 7 over Dallas and Boston in 6 over Miami. But all right, guys, it's the end of these episodes here today. I actually will talk to you guys tomorrow because the New York Islanders did hire a new head coach, and it's Lane Lambert, who's Barry Trotz' assistant for the last few years here on the island. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll talk some more hockey tomorrow. Talking about the Islanders. Oh boy, it should be a fun one. But again, guys, thank you for listening to these two episodes. Thank you for listening to my Stanley Cup predictions right there. Second round prediction episode. And now listen to this episode right here. So that's it for today, guys. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. And I will talk to you, or two episodes. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Thank you, guys. Love you, guys. Talk to you guys tomorrow.